Hello, everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 50. We made it to 50. Wow. For May 3rd, 2019, and this week we're going to cover... we have to talk about that Sonic trailer, the movie that dropped this week, because... Good Lord. And we got to do some listener questions. Me and Shannon are going to talk about a game that has got its hooks into us pretty good in SteamWorld Quest. And then we're going to do some listener questions. Threw it out there to the audience and got some good questions that we're going to toss around, have some fun with. And then we're going to do a little something a little different. We're going to close the show at that point, but then stick around after we do the close, because we are going to have a full end game conversation after the close. We're doing it this way, so if you haven't seen Endgame, you can duck out at that point and not worry about any spoilers or anything of that nature. But I just felt it would be impossible to talk about that movie without talking about that movie. There are so many moments and so many things I want to discuss with these two directly. So we are doing it that way. So if you have seen Endgame, stick around, because we are going to be discussing it in full. And to do that, I have with me, as always, Mr. Shannon Moore.
Hello, how are you doing?
Oh, I am fabulous.
That's awesome. Unlike many other people, I went the opposite way after seeing that Sonic trailer, and I had my teeth altered to look like a hedgehog's. So
interesting.
I'm kind of leaning in the opposite way on my protest of how Sonic looks.
Great. And also, Mr. I can't even continue. Also, I have Mr. Robert Steltonpool.
Hey, guys. I'm going to be the anomaly here. I actually didn't hate the trailer. I just didn't. But I don't have some huge affinity for the character. It looks like the most kid movie ever. I just don't. I don't know.
Well, we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
Yes, because I do have a stance that I think we're being a little bit too harsh, but okay. Go on.
Okay. Well, just a little housekeeping. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at That Pixel Life. Get on the Facebook group. Just search That Pixel Life to find us there and join some of our other cohorts that are discussing games and having fun and posting memes and all that fun stuff. The GIF game is strong on the Facebook group right now. And that's GIF, not GIF. I don't roll with the soft G on that. I don't care what the creator says. He's wrong. You give people GIFs, not GIFs. It's like, I don't...
He may know computer programming, but he doesn't know English. So
I'm right there with you. And we do have a Patreon if you'd like to help us keep the lights on. It's always appreciated. Definitely love and support all of our Patreon people. And and you can find links to every podcast platform our show can be found on thatpixellife.com. So now that the housekeeping is out of the way, let's talk about that trailer. My first reaction is, so Coolio hasn't gotten a paycheck in a long time. That was my first, because do you remember the stink he put out when Weird Al did Amish Paradise, the parody of Gangster Paradise?
Yeah, that was a huge deal.
And it was like all over MTV News and all this stuff, how Coolio was like so against it. Gangster's Paradise is the theme song to the Sonic the Movie trailer. Can't even wrap my head around that, to be honest. But it sets off on a great note. As soon as it sinks in that's what that is, and it's like, oh God, oh no. The movie's in trouble when the male lead is frickin' Cyclops. Like, that guy's never the good actor, you know? Like, any movie he's ever been in, like, someone's stealing his girl. So it's like, man... I mean, Wolverine's snaking it, Superman's getting it. It's like, Poor Cyclops.
He's. I mean, even in Westworld, he gets shot like, I don't know, every time, every episode. Yeah.
Just, oh, it's a new way to kill Scott Summers. All right,
he dies on. More than Sean Bean in anything he's in.
Jeez. But the big talk around the trailer is the look of Sonic, which to Robbie's point, it very much looks like a kid's movie. It looks absolutely harmless. But man, that's a bad Sonic. Like that's just a bad Sonic. Like, and I am not a big Sonic that I am of the opinion that people should have stopped caring about Sonic when everyone actually stopped caring about Sonic, which was 20 years ago, but somehow it just persists that this people love this character for some reason. And I'm not a big fan, yet somehow this movie got made and they just couldn't even get the easiest part right, which is the look of the damn character, which has existed for 25 years. I don't know. What do you guys think?
We're going to make a negative sandwich here, but I'm going to try to be the positivity in the middle.
Bring that positive peanut butter to the sandwich.
That's right. I will say this, that I cannot defend the design of Sonic. Like when I think of Sonic, I do not like that truly looks like the trailer park trash version of Sonic. Like it just does. It does not look good. I feel bad for the designers who were instructed to go that route. Because, look, let's just be honest. I've talked to people who have done animations. They probably did that animation, made that design 1,200 times, you know, to get that. So I just want to give them the benefit of the doubt that the people creating this probably didn't have a lot of choice in the matter. But that design is bad, so I cannot defend that. With that said, the rest of it. You can bash the Coolio song, and that's fine. But I mean, I know every word to that song, so like it was fun. It was fun singing it.
Of course you do. But it's why is that song there? Like
I don't freaking know. Like, what do you want them to play? Shark? Like,
it's Gangster's Paradise. Like,
maybe Sonic is a gangster. I mean, he is a.
It's not Shadow the Hedgehog the movie.
Maybe he. I mean, he is a hobo. apparently in this movie. But no, I don't know. I thought it looks fun to me at least. I don't mind James Marsden. I think he's funny. Like, yes, he does die or whatever and gets taken advantage of in a lot of his movies or shows, but he's funny. Like he has good timing. And so I think that works. Him throwing rings out and doing the spinning thing was really cool. Like, And then all the missiles being shot at him and hit, like time slowing down and basically them trying to recreate
Quicksilver
first class.
Yeah, Quicksilver. Yeah.
Like what? Whatever. Like this is a kid's movie at the end of the day. Like I have to keep that in mind. But like Detective Pikachu, this is going to get compared to this just because they're kind of doing the same thing live action with an animation. Mm-hmm. And I don't really think that's very fair, but I know for a fact that Detective Pikachu apparently is really good. And look, this is going to get really bad reviews. But I bet I'll walk out with a smile on my face because you know what? Jim Carrey's freaking hilarious. And I don't care if it's Jim Carrey playing Jim Carrey. I don't care. Like, I just don't. Like, that just doesn't bother me.
That's just Jim Carrey playing an older version of Ace Ventura. He's just like, you know, probably most people have forgotten he played that like by now. Like he's got a whole new crew of people he could just.
All I know is if Eggman does the talking ass part, then I don't know. I'm tapping out right there.
That'd be funny. But like, I don't know. Like whenever when Sonic jumps out of the. I think he jumps out of the car and does his little spinning move, and the sound effects are accurate. Like it at least they got that right, you know.
Geez, what an incredibly impressive bar to reach!
But throwing out the rings and opening portals, like I never thought his rings were like portals to other dimensions that he was collecting. I mean, that was a kind of a weird take to put on it.
Maybe we never try to run through them right.
maybe. You know? and then the only thing I'm trying to think, because like I mean, you see him running, and like when he runs, like everything slows down, like to this, you know, like the rocket scene. I mean, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. But then like you think about it, and he's sitting in the car, like having a conversation while the car is moving. That must be like the slowest car ride for him. Like. Like, if everything is just, when he moves, if everything slows down that much, I mean, like, I can only imagine, like, what he's, how painful of a car ride that is to have that conversation with, you know, just to carry on actually, that part of the movie.
It's funny, because I've actually read things not Sonic related, but, like, characters like Quicksilver or Flash, that's been, like, addressed in the comics about, like, the Flash being like, do you have any idea how painful it is for me to just talk to you? Like, I'm just waiting forever for you to finish a sentence. Yeah. So that part is kind of funny, but...
Like, it's probably... Like, I'll be honest, it's probably going to be another bad video game movie. And, you know, I don't know why Sega... I agree with you, Zach. I don't know why Sega is making this movie. Like, I just don't...
I guess that's... Okay, Robbie, I think that's the crux of it for me. I don't know who this is for. Like you said, it's a kid's movie. What kid even knows who the hell Sonic is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, why are you making a kid's movie for 35-year-olds? You know?
My 7-year-old niece has no idea who Sonic is, and she plays video games.
Yeah, she knows who Pokemon are. She knows who Mario is. Yeah. You know, like...
And you wonder why she knows what video games are? Because of her Uncle Robbie. Like, I just don't know who this is for, and... Like, I have AMC stubs, and so I'll probably see it just for the heck of it. But Shannon, go ahead. You were about to talk. I'm sorry, man.
It's fine. I think it's not for anybody right now. I think what it is they're trying to revitalize their properties, right? I mean, they're trying to bring their relevance to a new generation of people. Mm-hmm. Like, we had him as a character in a video game. Now, like, these kids that are going to watch this movie are going to see him as like this movie character, and then they're going to get the video games that go along with it. Hopefully, like, it's going to be like it's going to add to the revenue stream. I think that's what they're trying to do with this movie. And you know, it is unfortunate because, like, you know, Sega's always been compared to Nintendo, and in some heated debates, Sega has always felt like a knockoff of, like, or like a the discount brand of Nintendo, I think, in some circles.
Whoa.
I'm just saying, like I said, it's a hotly debated topic.
Shannon coming in with a hot take.
I'm just saying, but you know, so yeah, it's going to be compared to Detective Pikachu, but
can we at least agree that Ben Schwartz does a good job with the voice?
Yeah. Like, I agree there.
I thought the voice was fine. Though it does bring me to the news that hit today. We're recording on Thursday. Sorry, everyone, we're a little late. The news that came out today, the director tweeting out that, so, we've got everyone's feedback and no one loves this character design. We are going to change the character design according to people. And, you know, it was really crazy when you saw people in 8 hours do a fully rendered version that looked 10 times better, making its way across the internet. You know, just here it is. Here's Sonic. Here's the way I think it should look. And it looks vastly superior in every way. And it's like, that guy just sat at a computer for 4 hours and crapped this out. Like, it's not like he put a bunch of work in. And the thing that sucks, though, is this means, like, there's going to be a team of CG artists frame by framing this for the next, this movie comes out in November, probably up until the end of October, reworking this character design when their work was probably about done. So I feel really bad for those guys. Mm. They're going to be pulling 18-hour days for the next like 3 or 4 months. I hope it pays well.
Like I said, the artists who make this movie, there's just a part of me that feels really bad, and I'm completely creating this. This may not even be real, but part of me just envisions a group of animators who actually love this project, who actually are super excited to do Sonic the Hedgehog, and they're told to do this design, and it looks nothing like the cartoon. Mm-hmm. It looks nothing like the video game, and they're forced to do something they know probably isn't what they really want to do.
Well, and apparently, you know, there was a lot of back and forth between Sega and the movie studio where Sega was trying to get them to change the character design, and they got stonewalled time and time again. So it's like, you know, this has been a debate, like, you, to your point, this has been a debate over and over again within the producers and studio heads themselves. And they stood by their guns and released it to the world, and the world went, no, no, none of that. Like,
now, yeah. Now, I do want to push back on one thing, though. Mm-hmm. And this is to just the culture of the internet, and is to every listener. Can we just calm the heck down on our hyperbole of negativity and how bad something really is? Because the poster came out, didn't even show his body, didn't show his design, just showed his legs and his shoes. And people are freaking the hell out saying this is the worst thing ever. And I actually didn't mind the legs and the shoes at that moment. Like we had seen nothing but that. And then this is the worst thing ever. This is horrible. Oh my gosh, well, Jim Carrey. How can Jim Carrey be Robotnik? He's not fat. He's not overweight. Like, how is this going to work? Like, it's just, I understand it's the internet. I understand it's a toxic place. Mm-hmm. But I just would really, really appreciate for just one thing, one news item to come out and us not act like it's either the worst thing or the best thing.
Yeah.
Like, this pendulum swinging mentality is so tired. It's so exhausting.
But it's also, like but sometimes it's right. And
yes, you know, in this case, it is right. I just wish we would have given it a chance to come out before, because people have this negative mentality about it before the trailer even dropped.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like, I mean, I'll admit I'm guilty of that. Like, I was one of those people that saw that poster and I'm like, why does Sonic have human legs, bro? Like, what is that? You know, like. And I feared the worst, which is it was just going to be a guy in a suit, and it's not that. So thankfully, but yeah, it's that trailer was rough.
Here's what sucks, and this is where it's not really fair, but in a way it is. And I know that doesn't sound like it makes any sense, but I'll make sense in a second. While the two movies, in some regards, shouldn't be compared. It really sucks that Nintendo made every at least in the trailer, made all those Pokemon look freaking incredible. Mm-hmm. And they look like their counterpart to the game or to the cartoon. They look incredible. And even the ugly ones, like even the ones that like Venusaur and Bulbasaur, whatever, like look, they're hideous looking Pokemon in my mind. Like, I hate Bulbasaur so much.
Whoa.
I do. Get that leaf crap out of here. Grass type. No, I'll set you on fire. Or, like, but anyway, I haven't seen.
Man, if Elena was still here, she would have left the show right now, just on principle.
Well, Squirtle is the MVP and the GOAT. So let's just get out. Let's just go ahead and get that other. But anyway, like, they just look so good. And then the Sonic trailer comes out and Sonic looks so bad. Like, it looks like the Fantastic Mr. Fox cartoon. They just cut that out and put that in the movie.
My other main issue is take all the Sonic stuff out. Just forget Sonic at all. It looks bad. Like, it looks like a bad movie. If you just take everything else on face value, it's just like that. That's what you're doing with that, huh? Okay.
Yeah,
the other
thing that's weird is, why isn't it taking place in the world that Sonic is from? Like, right? Why isn't it taking place where the Sonic games take place? Because if you don't know, the Sonic games don't take place on Earth.
Yeah.
Like, why is it taking place on Earth?
Like, where's Green Hill Zone, man? Like, what are we doing? Like,
it just, I don't know. It just seems weird. And, you know, because at least, like, I'll defend Tomb Raider to a degree. Like, Tomb Raider was fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a little over the top and a little cheesy at times. But it's a female Indiana Jones who wants to be a bad A. Like, I mean, it does that. And that's why we're going to get a sequel, because it actually did what it was supposed to do. Assassin's Creed was hot garbage. And, you know, and so now we're going to get these two movies coming out this year. And
after that Last Jedi trailer, though, I want Poe to be Nathan Drake. Like, I was like, yeah, let's do that. And
I would love that if he wasn't freaking 45, 46 years old, something like that.
Oh, come on. Look at Paul Rudd. Like, they can.
No, that dude's a freaking Wiccan. He is a witch.
They can do wonders with hair coloring and makeup. It's amazing.
That's fair. And yoga, apparently.
Yeah.
But no, I will say this. I cannot wait to see the redesign
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious to see what they do.
Do they show the redesign at this point? I mean, just to quell the internet negativity, or do they like wait until closer to the movie to maybe build up some hype and say that we've redone this you know character that you guys didn't like? I mean,
I would keep it totally locked down until they'll probably have another trailer mid-October.
Till the summer.
Yeah. Like
I would wait till the summer. And I mean, they have to show the redesign by the end of the summer, because if you don't get people hyped for this,
mm-hmm.
you can't do it a month out. Mm-hmm. Like,
no, I agree with you. I agree.
Now we may not get a trailer till August or September, because they've got a lot of work to do, like Zach said. But I hope by the end of the summer we see a redesign. But here's the thing, and I know we need to move on, but at this point, I don't think a redesign is going to matter. Like, I think people are just going to hate this movie regardless.
Yeah, I mean, there's part of that. But it also, I don't think it... I'll put it this way, it can't hurt at this point.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right, well, we can move on. I just wanted to talk a little bit about what we've been playing. And me and Shannon have both picked up SteamWorld Quest, which is the latest game in the SteamWorld universe on the Nintendo Switch, is where I'm playing it. Shannon, is that where you're playing it as well?
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a great handheld game. That's how I've been playing a majority of it. And I am very pleasantly surprised by it. It was a game that I went into with some reservations, because I'm not the biggest RPG guy. And that was kind of how it was hyped. But once you start playing it, it isn't very RPG-ish. It has elements of a dungeon crawler in it. It's got a very unique card battling system that becomes very addictive after a while. It as an old school Magic the Gathering player, it kind of scratches some of those itches when it comes to deck building and combos. Nerd. And things up hardcore, dude. Hardcore. And things of that nature. I found the story pretty fun so far. It's funny. It moves at a good clip. I haven't had to grind all that much, except for in a few spots. What are your thoughts on it, Shane?
Yeah, I don't know how many chapters are in this game. I'm in 13.
Wow. Okay.
And I love this game. I can't put it down. Like, if I have a free minute to play, usually you can knock out a couple battles. And the good thing about the Switch, like you were saying, is it's portable, so you just put it down, do your thing, and then like you can pick it back up again. The card system is so like robust, because like you're always finding new cards. You're unlocking them in the chests. You can craft them. And up until chapter 13, I hadn't really run into a problem where I felt like I hit a wall. And I'd be interested to see if you hit a wall in the same spot that I do. This is the first spot I'm really trying to grind right now.
The first little wall I hit was, and it was just my own damn stubbornness more than anything, was when you need to get the key from the one guy and his puppy before mm-hmm. so you can get your fourth character and mm-hmm. open the cave up. Mm-hmm. And that was the first battle I went and actually got my ass handed to me mm-hmm. and was like, oh, okay, well, I think I can actually, if I rearrange my deck and actually like use some strategy here instead of just blindly going forward like I had been, mm-hmm. I think I can win. Mm-hmm. And I did better the second battle, but I still got my ass kicked. and then it hit me like, oh, they did say you could go back to other areas and find other items and do it. So mm-hmm. I went back to the previous chapter and cleared that whole thing out again, mm-hmm. then went through the whole first part of the chapter. And by that time I got back to him, I was like three levels higher and had four more cards and all these things. And so, yeah, then I was able to beat him for the first time. But that's the only time so far I've had to do that.
Yeah, I got stuck in an infinite loop on that part, because you can't run away when you fight the bosses. And then I had one of my characters got KO'd, so, and he was my And she was like my offensive
the magic user.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other two weren't strong enough to do enough damage, and like one of them was a healer, so I was just constantly healing myself, hoping I could do enough damage, and he was healing mm-hmm. himself, so like
yeah.
I couldn't, so I had to, and my pride wouldn't let me just get murdered by him, so like I actually had to just like turn the game off and then turn it, you know, exit yeah, the game totally. And then come back. But yeah, that was, he was frustrating.
And the thing is it was like, it was frustrating because it was a weird spike in difficulty. Like, mm-hmm. like I said, at that up to that point, I had just been cruising mm-hmm. through it mm-hmm. and all of a sudden it's just like this impassable moment that you have to grind to get through. Mm-hmm. But I think it was also a good like teaching moment in the game of like, okay, think a little bit. We've given you all the tools to get around this, you just have to remember to go use them. And then, yeah, 20 minutes later, I was through it. Mm-hmm. But it was like, but I had to actually step away from the battle to go do a bunch of shit and then come back. But even then, like you said, I haven't found any battles, even ones that are duplicates or anything tedious mm-hmm. because you get something every time. If it's experience or items or cards or something, you get something every time. And it takes away the pain of the grind mm-hmm. when that happens. It's not the Final Fantasy thing where it's just like, I'm just trying to get 20 more experience from these 100,000 things just so I can get one more level. You know, mm-hmm. like it doesn't have that vibe.
It's also pretty cool that they allow you to power up the cards.
Yeah.
And also, if you look at the cards, they give you they let you know what characters you can stack onto get more damage. Mm-hmm. So in a way, there's more of a payoff for you to explore working with other characters. So in, you know, like right now, like I had a really hard time going away from the three that you start with.
Yeah.
So
Jin's a badass though.
Yeah. Like, dude, that one move that he has with the sword, the samurai sword, he'll mess you up. But, and then, I got another character and now I've been trying to experiment with which parties do well, mm-hmm. together. So that's fun. Like that's what keeps it fresh, right? Is like, you know, there's
totally.
I have that group that like, you know, I can rush real fast with, like, you know, that has like the steam production, because like the mm-hmm. battle mechanics, like not only do you have your cards, but like your cards run off of steam. So like you need to, you have your basic attacks.
Yeah. And there's basic attacks that build steam,
mm-hmm.
but then anything beyond a basic attack will use steam 1 through 4
mm-hmm.
with 4 being the most powerful cards. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, to find a way to produce that fast, and then like, you know, min-max, I guess, your damage, is where I'm finding a lot of joy right now. So like, yeah, even mm-hmm. though it's getting more challenging, it's definitely ramping up in difficulty right now. I'm still finding that I'm having a lot of fun playing this.
Yeah, and I think that just the mechanics are shockingly deep. Like the battle system is really, really deep, and you know, like. One of the characters you'll pick up he's like a samurai guy. His name's Jin. He has different masks that go over his face, and the masks will act as like buffs or nullifiers to different attacks. So you need to think of the attack you need to do to get him to switch his mask to the right one, so the rest of the cards work in order. And the moves stack. So you pick the order that you want the cards to play out in. So he also has, like, but just because I've just done this, so it's on top of my head. He has a move that it's a multiple damage attack, and it uses as much steam as you have in your bar. So to Shannon's point, you want to use your other, like your magic user and your healer both have cards to make steam produce fast. And so you'll get them going. So your bar gets fully full, and then you have, you know, whoever their tank is, you sick Jin on them with this move, and it'll do just insane amounts of damage because you've got like 7 or 8 steam to use. And it's just like the little moments of figuring all that stuff out, like figuring out those combos, figuring out the characters, like to Shannon's point, the characters that play off of each other really well. It's incredibly satisfying. The fact that the story is fun and keeps me going is a bonus, but the battle system is the star of this show. Like it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, I mean, I highly recommend. It's $20. Just go buy it. It's great. Like, these people have not made a bad game yet in my eyes. And this is just another one that I'm kind of guaranteeing, unless they just crap the bed here at the end, I'm kind of guaranteeing it's going to be on my game of the year list. Mm-hmm. On some level, I haven't enjoyed a battle system like this in a long, long time. I don't think I'm doing it enough justice selling it right now, but it's so goddamn good. Like, it's just really good. So yeah, that's SteamWorld Quest. I'm sure you'll probably hear more about it in the future, because sounds like I'm going to be playing this a while, since I'm half the distance behind Shannon, and Shannon's not done. So
yeah, and I think I'm like 8 hours in. So I think I know the games get, I've already got my money's worth out of it. So
yeah, but it's also one I'm gonna see through to the end, because like Shannon said, it's the game I'm playing when I'm not doing anything else right now, and I want to because it's really good. Mm-hmm. So, Robbie, did you have anything you wanted to jump in here before we move to listener questions? Or
no, it's the last 2 weeks of school. And so I have not, and little man's been sick all this past week. So I really haven't played anything. I will have more to say next week though, because I bought Dragon's Dogma for Switch, and I've played that game a couple of times already. I think I've seen the ending of it on PS3, but I think it's just a perfect Switch game, because it was $22 used at GameStop, and that's like an 80 to 90 hour game if you want. And it's a very, if you enjoyed Monster Hunter World at all, this is very much a Monster World type game.
I'm curious to hear next week how it plays on the Switch. Cause I've been eyeing this one myself.
I played the opening like 30 minutes. It looks really pretty. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't like PS4, but it's almost like they did a Switch paint over it to make just, it looks really pretty the way it's painted. So but I'll have more to say next week.
Cool. Well, why don't we move on then to some listener questions? So I thought it'd be fun this week. I threw it out to our Facebook group and on Twitter. If anyone had stuff they wanted to ask us, anything that was on their mind that they wanted our opinions on, to let us know. And we will start with Dan Bird from the Facebook group, who says, favorite B-list movies and games. Shannon, go.
Jesus Christ, put me on the spot first. B-list movies?
By the way, I did not put these on the outline because I wanted these guys' instant reactions. So.
Oh, dude. Batteries Not Included, I think, is a good one.
Like, oh, that's a great movie.
I love that movie.
I don't know if it's a B-movie, but that's a great movie.
I don't know. It's so, like, not a lot of people know about it. Like, I mean.
Johnny
yeah.
Five.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Well, yeah. Short Circuit. Oh, yeah. Circuit. That's a good one, too.
That's what makes me think of it.
B-list games. I don't know. Do like
Shadows of the Damned. Shadows of the Damned is the all-time B game. Like, I love that. Garcia fucking Hotspur.
No, like best Blood on the ever. Sand or anything like that.
I mean, 50 Cent. Yes, 50 Cent. Blood on the Sand is the best B game of all time.
Okay, hit that ramp. All right, Def Jam Vendetta on GameCube.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
And B movie, look, y'all are going to judge me so hard.
That's fine.
No judgment.
But I love, 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 love the movie Stay Alive.
Stay Alive.
Stay Alive?
Is that the sequel to Saturday Night Fever?
No. It is a horror movie.
Okay.
Where these kids play this video game, and if you die in the video game, you die in real life.
I vaguely remember hearing that.
And it has Frankie Muniz in it, and there's the whole cast. Yeah. Like, I think the whole cast went on to do other things than Frankie Muniz, and he just like died right there in his career. But it is a horrible movie, mm-hmm. but it is just an dumb concept, but they bring in some like really cool actual historical elements into it. Like they do the Blood Countess, and it like back in I think it was like near Romania. Uh-huh. She once got her young servant's blood on her hand, and she noticed that her hand looked younger, and so she believed that young girls' blood, actually bathing in their blood, actually made her look younger. And so she began to go on a killing spree of like slicing them and draining them of blood and bathing and showering in these young girls' blood. This really happened. And
Elizabeth Bathory.
Yes, thank you. I always forget her name, but she's the villain in the video game, and so it's just like. It's just one little cool element, and I just really enjoy the movie. And I tell my buddies all the time, like, hey, guys, y'all ready to watch the movie of our generation? And they're like, Robbie, shut up. We're not watching that movie. Because they know that I call it that all the time because I know it's so bad, but I love it so much.
So another B movie that I love that is not good, but I love it, is Arachnophobia.
Dude, that's not a B. No way is that a B-list.
Oh, that is a B-ass movie if I've ever heard one.
Come on. Really? No, that movie terrified the hell out of me. Like, that was that was an A-level, like, fright fest for me.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no, it was
dude. Zach, I'm sorry, man. It like, that movie's revered by too many people to call that a B-movie.
Oh, no, it is a B-movie.
Like, John Candy and Jeff Daniels is in that movie.
No,
like,
John
Goodman and Jeff Daniels is in that movie. You can't call that a B-level movie.
Mm-mm. Well,
like you just...
Okay, with like the most fake-ass spiders in the world?
What are you talking about? Right. Dude, like, maybe I
haven't... Okay, have you seen it since you've been 10?
It terrified the hell out of me?
I'm scared of spiders.
I was afraid to use the bathroom for, like, a month after watching that movie. Like, I could not go use the bathroom without looking behind it first.
Okay, because see, like, I think movies like that and, like, Anaconda... Like, those are
okay, Anaconda is a horror... It belongs in that area. Like, I would give you Anaconda, but not Arachnophobia. You get that out of there.
Okay.
I would... Maybe Tremors. Maybe you could put Tremors in that
Tremors
category.
Is so good. The Graboids.
Tremors is great. Anaconda is great.
You know the best part of Anaconda? Is when they're leaving the area that the big snakes are in. Like, at the end of the movie, the ship is leaving. The boat is leaving the area. It's the same footage of the boat pulling in, just run in reverse. You can see the waterfall in the background going up. It's great. It's so good.
Another B-level movie. It's a comedy that I love. Is Blue Streak?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. I'll give you that one,
dude. Like 1997 to 2002, Martin Lawrence has a slew of movies that are completely underrated and hilarious.
Black Knight.
Yeah, I was just about to say Black Knight.
But Black Knight, Nothing to Lose, like
Big Mama's House.
Big Mama's House. What's the one he does with? Is it Danny DeVito? What's the worst that can happen? Like I think that's what it's called. Oh my gosh! Now I'm gonna freak out because I don't remember.
What was the other one that took place? It was another like a sea creature like horror movie. They were on a cruise liner, and it was about like the worms that like on the ocean level they were like really really small, but as you went down deeper they got bigger, and like the ones that were like down on the bottom came up during like a hurricane or like a storm or something, and like just wreak havoc on this cruise liner. I think it was like I want to say it was like. Like deep something.
Deep Star 6?
Deep Star 6? I don't know, but like I had
Deep Blue Sea.
Had Kurt Russell
LL Cool J.
It had Kurt Russell in him. And he was
you made me think of another awesome B movie that is on a cruise liner, which is Ghost Ship.
Oh, yes.
Ghost Ship is the opening scene of Ghost Ship is like the greatest thing ever.
Yes. 13 Ghosts.
Okay, I will totally give you 13 Ghosts. Oh, 13 Ghosts was good.
Yeah,
I thought the character design of 13 Ghosts was awesome.
Dude, that thing was freaky as hell.
Mm-hmm.
So just really quickly, thank you whoever gave us this question. I'm going to go from 2003 down, okay?
That would be Mr. Dan Bird, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Dan Bird, thank you so much. This is Martin Lawrence, man, right now, from 2003 going down. Bad Boys 2, National Security, Black Knight, What's the Worst That Can Happen with Danny DeVito, Big Mama's House, Blue Streak, Life, Nothing to Lose. Like, that's his run from 97 to 2003. That is a sweet run of
Life,
movies.
Life was shockingly good, too. That was with Eddie Murphy.
Like, you want your cornbread?
It was good stuff.
God. Jeez, that's such a good question.
All right, well, let's move forward because we can talk movies for another 20 hours, I feel.
But, that one would go on forever.
Yeah. So David P. on Twitter, if you want to look him up, it's at DaveP419530. That's Russian bot name. Sorry, Dave. talking about, we were talking about Game Pass, and he wanted to know, do we think Game Pass is, or Games with Gold, I mean, he wanted to know if we think Game with Gold is going to go away now that they've launched the all-in-one pass, and it seems like Game Pass is taking a lot of titles that used to show up on Games with Gold. And I think that was a very good observation. Astute. Yeah, yeah, like that's one of those, like, as soon as I read it, I'm like, yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. It wouldn't shock me if this time next year there is no Games with Gold anymore.
This month's Game with Gold was doo-doo.
Oh. It was, if we're talking B-movies, it was Guyver level bad. Like,
yeah, look, I'll be honest, like, PlayStation Plus wasn't much better. At least, but
PlayStation Plus at least had Overcooked.
Overcooked is fun. Yeah. If you haven't played that game with your kids, Zach, I think they would love that.
No, I think I would hate it though. So just make the eggs. Just, what are you doing? Just bring it over.
Wash the freaking dishes. All right?
Just hit the button. What are you doing? Like, I can see this all going horribly.
To chime in on this question, like, first of all, again, a great observation. I do think Games of Gold will be gone because of Game Pass. And you know what? I kind of believe that this was in the making all along. Mm-hmm. Like, when they decided, hey, we're going to do this with Game Pass. You know, but again, and this leads to a bigger conversation, but you can't tell me, and you two specifically, you can't tell me that there isn't a little bit of disappointment that we don't have big exclusives to be excited for with Xbox.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But, like, you know, I mean, that's
such a bummer, man.
That is the promise that's supposed to be coming.
Yeah, we'll but... see. You know,
E3's right around the corner. We will see.
I would say, yeah, I mean, they know they don't have the titles right now, so they're building the pipeline for when they do. And I think they're just going to hit the ground running with the next generation of consoles. I think, you know, like we said before, they've already like chalked this generation up as a loss. And, you know, I think they're just looking at that next console to make sure that they have everything that will go as smoothly as possible on the rollout. So there's no hiccups. And, you know, now that they have Sony taking the lead as far as, you know, what they're going to come out with as far as the horsepower in their console, and they are probably also going to come out and set the price point, I think there's a lot of things working in Xbox's or Microsoft's favor to come out as a heavy hitter at the release of this next generation.
But here's the thing. And people can say this is because I'm a fanboy, but the reality is Xbox needs to be worried because Sony's not showing their hand of games this year. And you can say, oh, they don't have anything. Bull crap. They've got so many first party studios. And, like, I mean, no one saw that Spider-Man game coming until they announced it. So there's no telling what could be in the works. But no, I think you're right, Shane. Like, Xbox does have an awesome opportunity here this year at E3 to own E3. Like, they can literally own it.
And I think you're going to see Gears 5 and Halo. I think there's
100%.
I think there's
going to lock.
And there's going to lock. I think they're going to empty both barrels and be like, "Here's what we got." You know, that's what I think is coming. But yeah, I'm in agreement with Shannon. I think this entire from the 1S forward has just been a let's figure out all the systems so when the next console launches in 2020 we've got all our ducks in a row.
We forgot to mention this, and so I do not want to take long on it, but BioWare came out today and announced like two of their creative directors on Anthem is gone, have left, and they are moving everything towards Dragon Age 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think you're going to need to pick up Anthem in August, because I don't think it's going to be around that long.
Yeah.
It's going to be discontinued.
Just such a bummer, because like, well, we've talked it to death, but the mechanics
so
in
much,
that world.
So much money, though, has been lost.
And the mechanics of that world are really fun. Like, playing Anthem is fun. It's just there's nothing really to do in Anthem.
Yeah, the story is doo-doo.
Yeah.
But what's the next question?
Okay, so Brandon Austin from the Facebook group just wants to hear some wrestling talk from us. Wrestling. Ooh, yeah. And wants to know, because we do bring it up from time to time, but he's curious to know what eras we watched in and what we're all about. I gave Robbie a bunch of crap about having some trash wrestling takes on the Facebook group, but I'll own it. Like, I stopped watching wrestling like when Steve Austin was in the WWE. So I believe it was 2 years ago that I texted Shannon and was like, "Who's this jackass in a Hawaiian shirt wrestling the Undertaker?" Because I had no idea like who this guy was, but apparently it was going for the title. And I'm like, "Who the hell is this?" You know, and had to get a whole explanation. So
I was an avid wrestling fan from about 1993 till about 2006, roughly. But I have watched every WrestleMania since then.
So you basically tapped out from the weekly when like The Rock left.
Yeah, like not really following the storylines and stuff. Like I'm not a huge John Cena fan. Like, I think he's a very funny dude in certain movies. Like,
there was a thing I couldn't unsee once I saw it on Twitter this week, where someone was like, "Have you seen John Cena getting older, turning into Ernest?" And there was a picture of their faces side by side. I'm like, "Holy shit! Like, wow, John Cena totally awesome. Is turning into Ernest."
But to answer your question, I'll just give you some of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Dean Malenko is the man with 1,000 holds, is one of my favorite wrestlers. Rey Mysterio Jr., but the all-time are obviously Rock and Sting. I'm sorry, Rock and Stone Cold, but Sting is my all-time favorite wrestler of all time. I stand by this, that Sting would be looked at just as the Rock and the Rock and Stone Cold are if he wouldn't have had his issues with Vince McMahon and he would have come over like everyone else did.
Are we talking Crow era Sting?
Yes. Or? Yes. Okay. Yeah. What he was doing, like that whole NWO stuff and what he did with like Kevin Nash and the Wolfpack and making them like making WCW so enjoyable while you saw the demise of the company was still just awesome to enjoy. And like my friends make fun of me all the time. You're like, "Robbie, you love these wrestlers that everyone else loves, like with Sting and Rey Mysterio, but then you love Dean Malenko. Like, it makes no sense." Like the old white dude who just did grapples. I was like, "Dude, he was the man of 1,000 holds." And then when he fought Chris Jericho and he was wearing a mask the whole time and you didn't know who he was, and then he defeats him and then you take off the mask and it's Dean Malenko. And you're like, "Oh my God." But a moment that I'll never forget. And then I'll move on, 'cause I could nerd out about wrestling forever. I remember crying my eyes out, I think in 1995, 96, when Hulk Hogan, I think, and Diesel at the time, they betrayed Macho Man. And on Monday Night Raw, or I guess it was Monday Night Raw at the time, and they betrayed him. And I cried my eyes out. I was like, "Oh my God, like how is this happening? Oh my God, why would you do that? No, Razor Ramon, don't do it, don't do it." You know, I was a huge fan, and this past WrestleMania was probably the most enjoyable WrestleMania I've seen in maybe 10 years, ever since the TLC match with the Hardy Boys, the Dudleys, and Christian and Edge. But wrestling's not good anymore. I will admit to that, but it has its highlights, and so it was cool to see that this year in WrestleMania.
Yeah, so I'm I'm old school. I know Shannon's new school, but I'll just get my old school stuff.
What are you talking about? No, no, no way, dude. I think my roots are way more old school than they are new school stuff.
Because when I think back to good wrestling, like I was a kid and I loved the era with, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage and Ultimate Warrior and Yokozuna and Earthquake and Typhoon.
And Doink the Clown? What's up?
Now, Doink was about when I tapped out. Like, Doink.
You had the Hacksaw Jim Duggan. You had the Roddy Piper. You had.
Goldust's dad.
Goldust and Dusty Rhodes' dad.
Mr. Perfect. That was Bret Hart. Was Bret Hart
Ric Flair?
I remember watching the Survivor Series when Ted DiBiase brought out The Undertaker as his bodyguard. And that was The Undertaker's first, like, ever thing in WWF. And it was like he was the scariest human being in the earth. Like, it was just terrifying, The Undertaker. Yeah. And it was so awesome.
And then, y'all remember whenever he used to be the American...
American Badass?
Yeah, and come out in that freaking... Like, oh my gosh, it was so awesome coming out on the motorcycle. Like,
and I was just did he just get sick of wearing an overcoat? He was like, I'm just going to show up in like a wife beater and jeans. Like, I just don't want to have a uniform anymore. Like, F this.
Do y'all have siblings, specifically brothers?
No, I have an older sister.
Shannon?
Yeah, I got a younger sister.
Okay, see, I was the oldest of three boys, and so... And we all watch wrestling together. So me being the oldest and being the biggest, I made my brothers be the practice dummies for whenever new moves would come
That's
out.
Awesome.
So like when Chris Jericho came out and he was like doing the Walls of Jericho.
Yeah, yeah.
I was doing that all day to my brothers. or Dean Malenko would come out and do something crazy.
How many tombstones did your brothers get?
I knocked my brother out for about 3 to 5 minutes. He was out cold.
Oh, I believe it.
Because I powerbombed him and dropped him on his neck and didn't do it on his back. And so my favorite tag team of all time is the Dudley Boys.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because they were the most out of shape guys ever, but they could still beat everybody.
I kind of like the Bushwhackers. I was a Bushwhacker guy.
Yeah, they were crazy.
Yeah, man. Oh,
okay. And then Demolition? And then that was Diesel's like first thing is when he joined Demolition as a trio. I remember that. Yeah. I can't remember what I paid in taxes last year, but I can remember all this shit. Like, what the hell is wrong with me? You know? Like, Jesus Christ.
Dude, it's the same thing with me. Like, I'm a pastor. I mean, essentially a pastor, and I can remember a lot of verses, but I can't tell you like every reference of the Bible, but dadgummit, I can tell you every starting quarterback in the Pac-12.
Right.
So
it's like, why does my brain do this? Like, oh, yeah, exactly. Jesus. All right. So Dave P on Twitter got at us again and just said something's been eating at him and he really wants to know if we have an opinion on it. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
She's in Notre Dame.
Too soon. Let's go. I'm gonna say somewhere in the tropics. She's got that overcoat using like a blanket on a lounge chair. Life's good. She's got the sun hat already. Rockapella's doing acoustic, soundtrack as she walks around. It's great. She's living a good life.
She just got done at Coachella a couple weeks ago. She just released a new album called Homecoming Live.
Nice.
So basically what I'm telling you is Carmen Sandiego and Beyonce are the same person.
You know, makes sense. Beyonce made a rise right around the time Carmen Sandiego dipped out. So
dude, that game was so much fun.
Oh yeah. That's OG. How have they not brought that back? How have they not brought Carmen Sandiego back?
The cartoon is coming back. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got a little kind of anime style to it, but it looks good.
So Jordan Derringer I on the Facebook group. Is this a thing? Cereal or milk first in the bowl?
Dude, if you are a monster? If you are not putting your cereal in the bowl first before you pour the milk, you are a psychopath.
I was like, I never even that's a, thought to do
are you
that.
Trying to screen for murderers like everybody?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what you're doing.
Yeah, red flag, Jordan. Red flag on that one. and then Michael Bonovich, also on the Facebook group, wants to know which one of us do we think would be likely to survive a zombie holocaust?
Mm.
Or he says zombie apocalypse. Sorry.
I don't know, dude. I don't think it's me.
I don't know. You got like welding skills. You got like
I got a weapon and mm-hmm. maybe some mechanical skills. But like, man, my cardio is not up there, dude. Like, there's those four rules from Zombieland. I don't know if I could keep up with some of those rules. Like, my cardio is whack.
I think Robbie's easily the best in shape out of all of us.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say physically, I could be pretty good, but like, I think Zach would because. He just doesn't give a crap, and like well, I could just.
Out of all of us, I am the meanest.
Dude, yeah, I think you got the true grit.
Like he's one bad day away from being Negan. Like I mean, I could just see that.
Yeah, and yeah, I think you got the brains, bro. I think that's what you need. You need the savviness, because like you know, like Robbie's gonna go out there and try to save everybody. And then he's going to get...
Don't act like you know me. Don't you? Don't act like me.
Your job is to save people, Robbie. Like, geez.
Oh, man.
Hey, y'all don't act like y'all know me.
I'm going to be out there hanging on an edge like Simba, and he's just going to scar me right off the edge, dude.
100% right. Well, I mean, Lisa says this all the time. Like, her and I need each other to survive the apocalypse because she would be too cutthroat and I would be too nice. And so, like, we would balance each other out really well.
Yeah,
that's a good, that's a fun question.
I'm more of the like, oh, you got bit. All right, well, see you later, bro. Like,
yeah.
Like no, I'm just gonna go hanging around.
You're just gonna go right for the head. You're not even gonna try to like yeah. amputate the leg. You're just like, nope, nah, done. Like,
it's over.
Like, oh, you want to join our group? Blood oath right now. If you ever get bit, we shoot you in the head immediately.
Yep, exactly. This is how it goes down.
Yeah. Even if it's your kid, like, no, you get bit, you're done. You're done.
Oh, I'd probably. You know, just like I might leave you to your own if the hordes aren't descending upon us. I might be like, nah, you need to go take a long walk, but you can't stay here.
Has there been a genre more drained than the zombie genre?
Vampires.
Well, and it's funny because there was 1UP Gaming, which is another podcast, messaged us what our honest opinion of Days Gone was, and I wasn't going to include it. Just simply because none of us have played it. Mm-hmm. But this, I think it ties in here. My honest opinion of Days Gone is just, it wasn't needed. Like, man, yeah. I'm just so sick of zombie games. I'm just so sick of it.
Like, well, and Shannon, like, I would agree with you with vampires, but they didn't have video games being made of it. Like, so many video games being made of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many TV shows, so many movies, so many video games. Like, everything's, like, zombie-related. Like, the DC Universe just started a comic this week called Deceased, and it's their take on a zombie apocalypse occurring.
Well, yeah, and there was Marvel Zombies a few years back, and...
Just such an exhaust, like, there's a part of me that's not really excited for Last of Us 2 just because of the zombie genre.
Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of, yeah, I'm with you. I'm tapped out on it.
Just done with it.
So, but it's good to know that you guys think I'd be the one to live. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Just because you're a cruel bastard.
I'm just going to tell you if we do make it to the same place and mm-hmm. zombies are running at us and you shoot me in the leg so you can get inside the game, I'm going to come back and just run roughshod over you at some point. I swear to God.
I'm going to eat you like I'm at Golden Corral. Like, I'm just going to crush your body.
Because that's the thing, Robbie. I don't have to be the fastest. I just got to be in front of you. Yeah.
Exactly. What's that movie where the dude's taking his shoes off? Like, is there something's chasing them? And he's like, what are you doing? You got to outrun this thing. No, I just got to outrun you.
Exactly. That's it. Okay. So I think we are going to go ahead and wrap the show up on that fun note. And... stick around if you have seen Endgame, because we are going to get into some spoilerific talk. But if not, thank you for joining us this week. This was a lot of fun, and we will see you all next week.
Womp 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 womp.
And let's get into some in-game. So I went and saw it on Sunday. I think Robbie had seen it twice by that point. I think Shannon saw it Saturday.
That is accurate.
Yeah. And goddamn, they nailed it. Like, just perfect. Pitch perfect. Like, just every beat of that movie, rock solid. Amazing. Yep. Amazing opening, great character development. It just... Robbie, you're the expert here. You take the lead, because I'm stammering all over myself trying to think of the words.
I think that if you have problems with this movie, it is strictly from a preference standpoint. There is nothing as far as writing, directing, pace, visuals. There's nothing on the aesthetic. There's nothing as far as making a film that is bad about this movie. Now, you cannot like certain choices they made, and I can understand that for some people, but there's nothing bad about this movie. There's not a thing bad about this movie. They stuck the landing. Mm-hmm. It is an homage. It is an ode to 22 films that came before it, mm-hmm. and it is a beautiful, beautiful landing. Like, I think Mark Bernardin said it perfectly. He's like, they had so many planes in the air going into this movie, and they landed every freaking one of them, and they did.
And I thought the using the time travel device, you know, to get the stones or whatever, was just such a clever way to call back all of these films, yes. you know, and make you remember what you loved about those movies, and make you remember the moments that really, like, stuck with you, you know, and yeah. it's
reminded me, I want to see the Ancient One more in movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was so good. She was so good.
Tilda Swinton kills every role she ever is in. Like, she's amazing.
Even in Constantine. That movie's trash, but she's great in it.
No, well, the funny thing with Constantine is, I'm blanking on the actor's name that played Satan in that movie, but that guy saved that movie. Like, he was one of the best Satans I've ever seen. Like,
yeah, he's Bad Boys 2. He plays that Russian mob boss.
In he always plays in. A Russian mob boss. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good. So good.
But yeah,
So I cried 5 times the first time I saw it, just in certain moments. But then the second time I saw it, I actually loved the movie more the second time.
Peter Stormare, that's who that is. I knew who that was. Sorry.
Yeah, he's in Until Dawn, playing a Russian mob boss as a doctor. the second time I watched it, I teared up 3 times, just in certain moments. And I just had such joy when certain moments occurred. And it's not just the hammer with the shield, even though that is probably one of the greatest moments of all the movies.
That for me, instantly top 3 moment in all the Marvel movies, when Cap picks up Thor's hammer and starts going to work on Thanos with it. It was just one of those, like, it was such a culmination moment.
But not that was and not even just the fact that it happened, but the joy that Thor has that it happened. Like, you know, he wasn't butthurt about it or anything. He was just like, I knew it. He was like, I knew you were the one. Like, you know, and like not only relief, but like almost like a joy, like that somebody else could wield it.
It's almost like they really went out of their way to make sure everyone knew, hey, we don't hate Age of Ultron like you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're going to reference it, because they reference it twice. They reference it there, and they reference it earlier when Tony gets back from space and he freaks out at Cap, and he's like, armor around the world. Who said that? Oh, yeah, like that was me. You know, like,
that's, and by the way, I thought that it was an amazing job on their part to make Tony Stark look sickly as hell.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets out of that, like, he is gaunt. Mm-hmm. Like, he looks like a freaking cancer patient almost. Like, it's just... Mm-hmm. It was really stunning, because up until that moment, you don't realize like how far gone he was.
Mm-hmm. And Doctor Strange continues to be the MVP. Like, just Doctor Strange just being dope. Like, and look, like, some people have thrown a fit about like the women assembling thing. Mm-hmm. And look, you can say whatever you want. And yes, you know what? I will admit it is pandering, but it is a well earned moment of pandering, and it is awesome. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It was funny though, in that moment, my wife leaned over to me and she's like, she just flew through Thanos' ship. She doesn't need any help. I was like, yeah, but it's a great scene.
But that was also, if I'm going to nitpick on anything, that was the one thing that disappointed me, is that you see Infinity War, you see her pager at the end, you got her movie.
She was pointless.
And then she basically is gone for 90% of this movie. Like, and then when she does come back, the one thing that she's really good at, flying through ships, is the one thing that she does, like, to balance the scales. Like, you know, I wanted to see that battle with Thanos go a lot longer than it did. And, like, she was, she started to just kick his ass. But then,
I was kind of with you. I expected it to be the, you know, when Thor lands in Wakanda and Mark Ruffalo's like, oh, you're all screwed now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I kind of wanted it to be that moment of like, okay, Captain Marvel's here. She's going to start clearing house, but it doesn't really happen.
It made me doubt why they made Captain Marvel as quickly as they did. Mm-hmm. And it made me doubt why she had to be in the movie. Mm-hmm. Because except for destroying the ship, she doesn't do anything. Like, she's not a narrative piece. Like, yes, she brings Tony back from space, but honestly, they could have used anybody under the sun to do that. Mm. Okay, so just to nitpick just one decision that I do not like about the movie, and that's even after seeing it this time. And I love the bit about Thor being fat and overweight.
Yeah.
I hate that he's like that the whole movie.
Yeah, I kind of expected like his mom to fix it. Mm, yes. Like, I expected that to be where, like, Thor becomes Thor again, and it didn't really happen. And I was just like, oh, that was a curious choice. That was weird.
Yeah.
But it did give me the joke for my wife that, like, hey, I've got a Thor body. All right.
I did think it was pretty funny, too, that, I mean, like, even, like, you were saying, Robbie, earlier, like, about the Age of Ultron, about how people didn't like it. You know, the Dark World wasn't really too well received either, but they kept going back to that one. Pretty extensively, and I understand they had to, but it was just funny that they referenced it as much. I think it was more comical to me after us making our own list than than it should have been. But yeah, I kind of chuckled when I saw that how many times they went back to that. But you know, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, buddy.
I was just gonna say, like, for me personally, I think one of the more powerful scenes, like, it was just a short snippet. It was just like after Professor Hulk kind of snaps the first time, and Ant-Man is just sitting there at the window, and he's just like, guys, like, I think we did it. And right as you finish that sentence, like, he just gets blown, like, right through the, you know, back into that lab. Like, my jaw hit the floor. Like, that was, I was like, damn, I thought Ant-Man was dead.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man.
But I liked that they made Ant-Man kind of a big role in this movie.
Me too.
Like, it was, because the way Ant-Man and Wasp ended, that was actually a thought I had, was like, well, Ant-Man was technically kind of out of the universe when all that happened. So I'm curious to see if that plays a role in there. Like, and it turned out it did. You know, they found a way to make time travel be using the quantum realm, which is outside of, you know, the universe itself. Play a huge part. And my only major quibble with it, and it's really not that big, but in the big final battle when Doctor Strange brings everyone back, which
on
is
your left,
which is one of like the all-time moments. Like, that was just such a great scene. And then I loved when he was like, is that everyone? And he was like, what, you wanted more? Like, that was such a great moment. I would have liked a little more action from every single person. Like, you get like, Ant-Man and Wasp were there, but I didn't really see Wasp do anything.
Winter Soldier doesn't do anything. Yeah. Like,
he stands there and fires a gun a couple times, but that's all you see him
do. Yeah, it was really just like, hey, let's get the headliners. Like, let's get the people that, you know, everybody really wants to see. You know, everyone wants to see Spider-Man. Everyone wants to see Black Panther, you know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, and I don't think you are either. Like, there is obviously a 4-hour cut of this movie, and I want to see it.
Oh, I'm here for it. Like, give me all that.
I don't know what the price is that would be too much for me to pay for that, because it's pretty high.
But the and just it was a little moment, but I loved it. It was, there's two things. When Cap is trying to get the Infinity Stone and he has to fight himself, mm-hmm. and the, you know, the old, the, or the, I guess, younger Captain America goes, I can do this all day. And he's just like, I know, I know. It was just like the sound. It was just the perfect delivery of just like, I know, just God damn it. Like, you know, like it was just such a perfect thing. And then the elevator scene. When they get back in the elevator and the buildup is exactly the same as the elevator sequence in Winter Soldier. And my first thought was like, are they really going to roll that back? Because like that was so good and it was so great. But to do it again is kind of dumb. And then they he leads over and taps into the comic line of where he says, Hail Hydra. And ends up just walking out with the case like, doo, 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 doo.
So good.
It was just such a great misdirection. Like, the two of my favorite moments of that entire movie.
And hey, and I got my Avengers symbol.
You did.
Like that's all I freaking wanted. And I got it. And it was epic. And it was awesome. And, you know, this movie just, like I said, it was a perfect culmination of 22 films before it. This is not a negative, but I will say I don't know what to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because we don't know what movies are coming. It's just truly because I don't know if I care.
Mm-hmm.
to the level that I've cared about these characters for 10 years. Well,
I want to see how Spider-Man is affected by it in,
Cause apparently that's the end of Phase 4. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good point, Shannon.
And apparently, like, all of his classmates got snapped out of existence. Because I was mm-hmm. like, oh, you just walked back into high school and everyone's the same age?
Yeah.
Shouldn't everyone have been 5 years older? Like, wait, they all died, apparently? I don't know. There's a couple things like that. That's one of them. Like,
yeah.
So Thor doesn't have a hammer anymore in the Dark World timeline?
Well, he returns it. Cap returns it
at the end.
Oh, okay. Because that was one of those where I'm like, doesn't that mean Thor doesn't have a hammer now?
Well,
like,
and look, let's just be very clear. They break their own time. They lay out rules for you, and they break them. They break them hardcore. But this is a fake concept in a fictional movie.
Oh, and I love how they basically address it too. Like, wait, so you think you know time travel because you watched movies? Like, yeah. what is wrong with you? Like, no, that wouldn't work at all. Like, what are you talking about?
I just love they mentioned Hot Tub Time Machine because I love that movie so much.
It is so good.
And I like the Hulk.
And the base keeps running.
Yeah. if I was gonna kill myself, I'd be great at it. Shotgun to the dick. I love that line so much.
So good.
Oh man, but yeah, I like this version of the Hulk the best. And I, you know, I don't know. I think I'd like to see a movie about how Banner kind of gets, you know, how he melds the Hulk together, how he gets him to come back. I mean, there's a whole story there. Like, I mean, I would like to see that. I mean, like, maybe that's the Hulk movie I wanted that I didn't even know I wanted.
Yeah, it really made no sense how in Infinity War, like, Hulk was scared to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, hey, we became besties and everything's fine now. You know,
I basically went on a Zen mountain retreat and everything works. Like, what?
He basically went on a spirit walk like Bran from Game of Thrones. But no, I think also they probably made one of the smartest decisions moving forward by putting Thor with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
and for sure. Thor works better when he's with other heroes as far as the movie version goes. And you put him with the best ragtag group of hilarious heroes, like, this is the way to go.
Mm-hmm. And that was a great scene too. Like, no, everyone knows who's in charge here.
Sure.
You mean me, right? Of course.
Sure. Of course.
Of course.
So does that mean that Valkyrie's gonna be the new Thor?
I don't know.
Actually. I don't know, man.
I mean, like with the reboots of the comics, right? Now Thor is a female. Mm-hmm. And then
Jane Foster was Thor for a while.
Okay. Thor, yeah.
But that's because she had cancer, and the only way she could survive was through the power of Thor. So, but keep going. I'm sorry.
I thought it was crazy that they got her back.
Yes,
I didn't think she was coming back.
Well, and the other weird thing is apparently like there were two new characters added to this film that they cut completely. Like they cast two new actors to play roles that they haven't revealed what those roles were, and they cut them from the film. I'm telling you, there is a 4-hour and 15-minute cut of this film somewhere, and dadgummit, I want to see it.
It's getting Lord of the Rings extended edition long,
but it's so worth it. Like I'm gonna go back and see this movie again. And like, yeah, it's just I have a feeling it's gonna hit me just as hard the second time around, knowing that everything is coming as it was. Like I'm still like I'm suffering from the same thing that you suffer from when like you've read a book series, like you're invested in like that series with those characters, and then like there's nothing after like you finish that last book. Like I'm in that phase right now. I'm going through withdrawals, I think. I don't know.
You're in media mourning.
I am. I just feel like there's an emptiness now. Like, yeah. I mean.
You're like, but I want more.
It's powerful. More. This movie's got a hold on me.
So, in our ranking.
Oh. Where does it go? This got to be number one, like, for me. Like, it's so good. It's like, I can't. It was an emotional roller coaster for me, like from just all out fanboy joy to like sadness to like empathy to hope to anger. Like, I mean, all of it was all I was all over the place. Like there was it hit like every single box for me. Like it's perfect. Like it aside from the small things that I mentioned, like which are really on the scale of things, not. Yeah, important in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. Like, this has got to be like my number one on the list, all time.
I'm scared of recency bias. I will say it's a top probably three.
It is the most entertaining film of the series of all of them. Like, I still think Winter Soldier has the tighter story, but that's just because. Endgame decided to mess with time travel. I would say it probably is number one. Like it probably is. Like it, yeah. Because after seeing it a second time, like I enjoyed it way more the second time. And Marvel films. Go ahead.
And I think it gets points for a degree of difficulty. Mm-hmm. Like that was such an easy movie to screw up.
I think Tony's portrayal in the end, like that whole like his whole exit was just as sad as it was, like I mean like the, everything it wasn't I mean yeah him being ups him like dying was very like hard to take, like, you know, because Iron Man, like I loved like Iron Man, but like the just the, everything that went along with like the funeral scene, and then at the end when Happy's sitting there with his daughter, and like, you know, he's like, I'll get you anything you want. Like, what is it that you want? And all she says is a cheeseburger. Like, I lost it all over again. I was just like, Jesus Christ. I was like, here we go. Like, I thought I was over it, and I'm not. And like, you know, maybe it's because I'm a dad now, and I understand like that whole like, you know, his reluctance to do everything because he didn't want anything to change, because he didn't want to like, you know, he didn't want anything to happen to his daughter, like all that stuff. Like I get it, like, you know, I get his motivation throughout this whole movie, so I think that was just
and for them to like we haven't even mentioned it, but I was so glad that they gave Scarlett Johansson the ability to show why she's such a great actress,
she can
do more than just be the sexy secretary who can kick everyone's butt. Because no offense to Joss Whedon, but that's exactly what she is in the first Avengers film, and like to see her develop and just to see her, you could tell she was broken at the beginning of that movie, and rightfully so. They had such, like, I think I used this example to a buddy. Marvel had like a 45-ounce porterhouse to cook to perfection, and dadgummit if they didn't freaking do it. Yeah. And they did. Like, again, you can not like some of the things, like certain preference is in the decision making. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Cap staying back in time or whatever. I'm not a huge fan of that, but I didn't hate it. Like, I didn't say, oh, that's so stupid.
But with all of the stuff around all of the Captain America character building, I thought it was actually a good ending.
And it showed growth. Well, I mean, if anything, it kind of like solidifies that we're probably not going to get a Cap, another Chris Evans Cap movie.
Sure.
But like, he made out with his niece in Cap 2. Like, I can't forget about that, you know?
In Cap 2. And Peggy Carter got married and had kids, and that didn't happen now. So, you know.
Yeah. So, but whatever. But no, I thoroughly enjoy this movie. But guys, I need to say this for, if you are a Game of Thrones watcher, mm-hmm. I need to say this, and this is, I'm not going to spoil too much, but I am a book reader. I've been reading these books since 2007, 2008. I have been such a huge fan of this world. I have read the novellas. I have read the side stories. I have read, like an idiot, I paid $35 for Fire and Blood, even though I said I was not going to do it because George R. Martin's a freaking punk.
Mm-hmm.
I am so disappointed that this show has treated its fantasy part, fantasy element, like a tumor that it's had to remove for the last two seasons. And how in one single episode, you just in one line of dialogue, the episode before, you told us what the Night King wanted. And in the next episode, the first time he encounters all of our heroes, he dies in one episode. And
it was more also that one episode was seven seasons in the making, mm-hmm. and it went all to one episode, mm-hmm. like that. Yeah,
what I love about George R. Martin's books is that it is a character-driven political drama in a world of fantasy. And they have just treated the fantasy like it's a tumor attached, and they've just tried to keep it there as long as they could, and then they've removed it. And it frustrates me, and I could go down the list, and I'm sure there are other book readers who feel the same, but there's a laundry list of things that they've cut from this book. And I know there's certain things you just can't put in there because, mm-hmm. you know, there's not enough time. But there are things that are very important that they have just washed over. Like telling us the Night King's motive and why he's been killing people for seven seasons in one line of dialogue through Bran the Wanderer, like, is just so, so lackluster and so disappointing. I'm not gonna be a jerk and say that the last week's episode sucked, because I don't think so. Like, I was on my feet the whole time,
It also didn't help it when Endgame came out, because it was two things, both about movie length, that were culminations and big events. This is it. This is the whole thing. And one stuck the landing and one kind of didn't.
Well, let's put it in perspective a little bit. Like, I know I'm more upset with how I feel about how HBO is treating the characters in Game of Thrones now. Because, like, George R. R. Martin, it just seemed like, didn't really care about who lived and who died. And it just seems mm-hmm. to me like if he had more control over this battle, a lot more of the named characters would have met their ultimate demise. Like, Sam should have been killed, like, six or seven times in that show. But, the one thing I have to say about the Night King is, if he is as strong as he is supposed to be, like, if he is like the ultimate end all be all like guy, and he has this huge army, like, it's not gonna be a long drawn out battle, you know. It's gonna be a short skirmish, because, like, I mean, like you said, I mean, he had, like, pretty much like his whole army marching from the wall up to Winterfell. And he had all these people that he killed along the way. He's going to have a huge, massive army. And if he can just keep resurrecting him, like, you know, they are going to overpower that castle relatively fast. So, I mean, I understand, like, a lot of people kind of felt, when I first watched it, I was like, wow, that was a lot of buildup for not a huge payoff. But, I was able to quell a little bit of the anger just by you know, putting things in a little bit more perspective. But yeah, I could still feel how, I could still see how people are getting ripped off. I mean, like, he's been like supposed to be like the big bad, and like he got taken out. Like,
and his origin, that's not even his origin in the books. Mm-hmm. Like that's not how we're told he was created. Like, and the Night King is actually not even a character that we encounter. We're talking, like, he's a myth called the Night's King, you know, and the White Walkers are who actually they encounter. And like, I'm not going to do this where they, you know, talk about the differences between the book and the show. I'm just going to say, like, they have completely taken out an element in one episode. They have taken out basically the whole magic and mystical concept of the book. And so now for the next three episodes, we are going to, like, it's not about them dying as heroes. Now it's going to be who's smart enough to not die by getting betrayed. And I really, really, really dislike that because, and Shannon, I'll say this, if you think about it, not a single character that we enjoyed died during a battle. Mm-hmm. Even in the show, like this whole show, we've never lost someone, a main character, in a battle. It's always been at a wedding or at some kind of, you know, some moment of betrayal. And that just, I can tell you this, I guarantee you 70% of what's happened since the end of season 5 is not going to happen in the books. Like, we may get to same results in some ways, but it's not happening like this. There's no freaking way George R. R. Martin is going to have them go Suicide Squad and 10 of them go find a white on the other side of the wall just to prove to Cersei that they exist. That's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. That's not how – first of all, that's a dumb idea. It was a dumb idea in the book. I mean, in the show. And second of all, that's not just not how Martin works. And so I'm sorry to belabor this because I do need to go to bed, but I just had to get it off my chest.
It's all good.
I love this world so much. And I know for a fact that I'm not the only book reader and I'm not the only fan who feels this way. But it just this past week just felt very underwhelming. Mm-hmm. Just underwhelming. But Endgame was not. Endgame was incredible, and you should go see it.
Absolutely. And I think that is a good note to end on. So that was our Endgame spoilerific talk. I think I speak for all of us when I say we can't wait to see it again. And yeah, we definitely look forward to seeing what is happening next, because it's kind of an unknown at this point. But I'm willing to give them a very long rope because, damn, they nailed it. So that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out to the bitter end with us as we got through some Endgame. And follow us on Twitter. Get on the Facebook group. Tell us how right we were, how wrong we were. Shoot us some more questions. That was really a lot of fun. And we will see you all next week.
All right.